You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hello, lovely humans. I'm Wiley, and you are listening to X Stories, a podcast that officially has a new title, but is always and forever about understanding the physical and emotional components of human connection, one individual experience at a time. And our guest today is a 39-year-old bi-comfy white cis male who has been married to his current partner since 2009. He is not a fan of relationship labels. They have been ethically non-monogamous since 2021, and they might use the phrase poly and or swinger if pressed. He is into honesty, sharing, open-mindedness, sensual touch, talk, and recaps, hands, laughter, good thing because I just took a lot of takes of laughing, kissing, especially neck kissing, eye contact, ass worship, group play, sexy whispers, and sexy video making, an actor in Los Angeles, but originally from the Midwest. Welcome, Max.
Hello. I am so happy to be here, and I'm honored to be on your show. I'm a big fan of you.
Wyatt. Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you here. Also, Kimberly probably cleaned up that intro, but I just like took, I think that's the most takes I've ever taken in an intro, and then I just started to get into a giggle fit. So that's a fun beginning. We're off to a playsploration start. Also, I didn't go over your intro with you before reading it right in front of you. How was that for you?
That was a great intro. I think that very accurately describes my mindset and perspective.
Okay. And I'm going to try a brand new thing with you here today, if that's okay with you. Do you want to do a play exploration, exploration, question exploration?
I love new experiences. That's one of the reasons why I thought it'd be fun to do this podcast. So I'm all about anything new you want to try.
Let's do it. I too am a novelty seeker, like a conscious novelty seeker, right? Okay. So I realized that I have made a big effort in my life to get real clear about consent in my interactions, for better or worse. And the whole goal of this podcast is to like model talking and kind of like learn about how each other we talk. But I've never, I don't think, on pod been like, hey, how personal do you actually want to get today, right? Like with professional guests, I check in ahead of time. With personal guests, you know, I prep them to share all. But Max, how personal do you feel comfy sharing today? What are your boundaries here?
We can get super personal as we're recounting, you know, different stories and different experiences that I've had. I do tend to enjoy details. I really like details. If I share details that are too specific for your podcast, I mean, totally, you know, direct me another way, I guess.
If it's legal and consensual, I would love to hear the details.
All right, cool. Because I do, I say all the bad words, not bad words, but I say all the naughty words and all that. So I enjoy sharing stories from our sexual experiences, my wife's and I, and I enjoy hearing stories too. It's one of the things that really turns me on.
Ugh, I love hearing that. Okay, so answer for me this question. If you had to rate yourself on a shame-o-meter with 10 being the most full of shame and 1 being not so shamey at all, where do you fall today and what has your shame-o-coaster looked like throughout your lifetime?
Right now, at this very moment, I think I'm a 1 because I'm on the podcast with you, and that makes me feel really sexy because I think your show is very sexy. As far as the roller coaster, I think that there have definitely been points in my life where I've been closer to a 7 or an 8. I've always had a pretty good relationship with masturbation for various reasons. So I've never really felt shameful around that. You know, in my younger years, I did when I was confused about how things operate, I suppose. But yeah, I would say that I haven't been above a 5 probably since I was like sick. I was sick about a month ago. And when I get sick, I start feeling real gross about my body. And it's hard for me to think about anything, you know, sexually or pleasure or anything like that. So I was pretty sick like a month ago. So that's probably when last time I was above a 5. But in my adult life, in my late 30s, I am around a 1, 2, or 3 most of the time, I think. And part of that should be credited to my lovely wife, too, because being with her at the point we are at in our lives, we help each other keep our number really low on that shame-o-meter, you know. We celebrate each other's sexuality, each other's fantasies, and all that.
That is hot as fuck. And I have been lately imagining what it's like to have that sort of like approval from a partner, like in an everyday way. I'm like, oh, right. When I hang out with my friends who like approve of me and witness me, that's nice. I can see how that could be a benefit to someone. I can see why a good partnership causes people to live longer. I think those are the data. So you said that you at times have been a 7 or 8. What is most likely to make a 7 or 8, or what used to make a 7 or 8 in you?
I grew up in the Midwest, as I mentioned, and I did grow up in a religious family. I had a religious upbringing, Southern Baptist, to be accurate. And a lot of the information that you get, well, you don't get much information about sexuality and your own development as a sexual being on this earth, you know, when you're in one of those religions, at least from my experience anyway. So as I grew older, I had a lot of self-discovery that needed to happen and a lot of figuring out about my sexuality and stuff, because I didn't really have that a lot growing up, like in the church and stuff. But I have definitely dealt with that as an adult, and I've kind of distanced myself from that, and I have a new mindset when it comes to that kind of stuff. But any kind of shame I would have around masturbation or sex or desire or feelings that I was told that I shouldn't have, anything that I dealt with that took me up to a 7 or 8 probably stems from my religious upbringing, I would say.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So including the masturbation stuff you kind of talked about, and then, but what about when you're sick? It spikes your shame? Is it like a general grossness?
It just makes me feel gross. Like my body feels gross and I can't stop coughing, you know, mm-hmm. And you know, like sometimes when my wife like tries to cuddle with me or something and I'm not feeling so good, I just feel like I can't touch her, you know, because, well, I physically don't want to cough on her. But at the right. same time, I just feel like my body isn't functioning where it needs to be, you know, to have like a valuable sexual experience.
Yeah. Okay. So on the note of some of the kind of like shamey, maybe cultural norms that were attempted to be embedded in you, I'm getting curious with people lately, like, what other cultural norms have you experienced in your life that have either like squished your personal pleasure process or maybe mm-hmm. has just led to shame and judgment either of yourself and or others? Does that kind of make sense? This is a new question, Noodle.
Yeah. The older that I get, the more that I understand that society functions in a certain way and there are expectations put on you as an individual, or if you're in a relationship as a couple, as to how you should conduct your personal life, your social life, all that. But I think the older that I get, the more that I realize that a lot of that stuff is a facade. And as adults, we should learn to live the life that we want to live. We should find ways to explore our sexuality, maybe that we're not taught through societal implications. You know what
yes.
I mean?
And those are nebulous implications too. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be, wait, what? And it depends on who's saying yeah. it and what are their motives?
Yeah, I'm supposed to have kids when I'm this age. I'm supposed to get married when I'm this age. I'm supposed to only fuck one person for the rest of my life. Like, you know, yeah, these yeah. things that we are told are normal, like this is how people function in our society. A lot of them, as I get older, for me at least, are not normal. They're kind of bizarre in a way. Yes. And the journey of like going through life, and especially when you have a great partner like I do for so many years, exploring all that stuff together and figuring out how you want to live your life together. I mean, that's really a pretty special thing. And I'll be 40 in a few months here. And right now I'm very happy at where I am in my exploration as an adult and as a sexual being.
Oh, I love hearing that, and I am so excited for more details. First, I'd like to kind of try a new introductory route. I would like to hear, what are you the best at? It can be sexually or, but like connection-wise with your partner, and how did you get to be so good?
I am really into praise.
Mm.
Physical praise, you know, like I really love, you know, physical ass worship. And massage and all those kinds of things.
Wait, like you give the ass worship or receive it or both?
I give normally, yeah, because okay. my wife has a fantastic okay. ass. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes that's like all the foreplay we need. you know what I mean? I just worship her ass for 5 to 10 minutes and then we're both like pretty much ready to go.
Wow.
But the reason I mentioned that specifically is she loves receiving praise at the same time. She kind of likes, she's discovered, you know, in her adult years too, as she's kind of had her sexual awakening in her mid 30s, she's discovered that she enjoys being the center of attention in a sexual scene, and she enjoys being praised and being touched and all that. So that's just one of the things that makes us such a good match, I think, is I love giving it and she loves receiving it.
Amazing. Does it ever make you shy? Sometimes I get so shy, especially in a sexual situation. Like, I'm like proud, but I feel like a little baby where I'm just like, they're looking at me. Like, you're just like proud of it.
Well, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but since my wife and I have started this sexual exploration of doing all kinds of different things with group sex and parties and clubs and filming and all this kind of stuff, doing everything that we've done the past few years since we've kind of opened our marriage up a little bit to involve other people in different ways, having friends that, you know, we do things as a foursome or sometimes we split off into twos or whatever, but lots of different experiences. And I have realized that while I've had like voyeuristic tendencies for a long time, I really enjoy watching people have sex. I like it when people watch me have sex too.
Okay. So exhibitionist?
Yeah, I think so. And I would not have known that, you know, if I hadn't explored.
Okay. I love that. What's the, can you like specify the sound of the feeling behind liking getting watched? Because I've met people, and I'll give you examples for context. Like I've met people who are like, yeah, baby, look at me. You're like, whoa, I'm all right here. And I'm a little more like, yes, well, I'm right here. And of course you have permission, whatever you want. I'm just right here. You know, like what's the flavor of yours?
I definitely like the fly on the wall type thing, you know, like when I'm having sex and then people are there watching kind of in silence and just kind of enjoying taking it in. I've been in situations where my wife and I have been having sex and other people have kind of gathered around to watch in a club environment. They've asked politely to join in and, you know, like we're in the moment. We politely say, you know what, we're just going to keep it us, you know. And then a bigger crowd will gather around, you know, and then they'll start kind of commenting on things that they like to see, you know, and all that. And I don't mind taking instruction either.
Mm, like crowd suggestion?
Yeah.
That's hot.
I don't mind that.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. I would love to follow orders from a crowd. That would be great. I love that. Okay. I would like to hear, what is the most helpful thing that you have learned in your lifetime about sex or interpersonal connection and or relationships, long-term relationship? Like you can pick kind of your area of focus and expertise, but like what's the most helpful connection, sex connection thing you've gleaned in your life?
The most important thing to me is communication with your partner, your long-term partner, or a partner that you're just going to have some experiences with one time or two times or three times, but talking about what you like, what turns you on, and more importantly, listening to your partner or partners about what they like and what turns them on and their boundaries and, you know, things you do during foreplay that really get them going and get them in the mood quickly. It's communication. That is the most important thing, I think, to have like a really good sex life, you know, with your partner or with whoever.
I definitely have found that to be the case for myself. And I think, you know, you're right. It is something that we hear all the time. And Dr. Emily Morris says communication is lubrication. And I get really turned on by words. And I do think talking about it ahead of time is a turn on. But what I feel like is missing, you know, as a uber nerd who has basically gone deep down a rabbit hole of studying communication as it relates to sex, and I find myself getting only more and more confused. Do you feel like you and your partner just have the gift of we can communicate, or do you feel like you've had to like work to discover tools and like, do you have any communication wisdom here?
It definitely takes work, no matter what. I mean, we met in 2002, we started dating in 2003, we got married in 2009, we started fucking other people in 2021. So that's kind of like the timeline of everything, but we've been through a lot over that time period, and certain things happen and they teach you how to communicate better, I think. So I think it maybe is a combination of both. It's something that we definitely have to work at, but with my wife and I, like, we still turn each other on. We still love each other. We're still best friends, just like we were as, you know, 18-year-old kids when we met in college. So it's a combination of that foundation, but also the work over time to learn how to communicate better.
Do you guys have like explicit conversations about like, babe, we're going to work on this style of communication? Or is it like trial and error, like, oh shit, a big family tragedy happens and now we have to talk about a feeling? Or is it like, what are some of the kind of specific textures or concrete pieces of your communication and growth with your partner have looked like?
I think that we definitely know each other's tendencies with certain things. When I get bad news or when I'm depressed for whatever reason, I don't get depressed a lot, but I do every now and then. Every few months I get depressed for like 3 or 4 days and it's awful. I mean, it's terrible, but she knows when I get that way that it's best that I just have space, you know, and she knows not to like push it, you know, and you know, what do you need from me? You know, what are you so upset about? You know, why don't you do this? You know, and it goes the other way too. We know when we need to give each other a little bit of space because we know that personally, I need time to figure out what's happening in my own brain at times. And I need quiet. I need silence. I need just time. You know, sometimes it's a day. Sometimes it's like an hour, honestly, yeah. You know, but we know that about each other. And because of that, we're good problem solvers. Like when she has a problem, I can help her solve it. When I have a problem, she can help me solve it because we know what we need to ultimately figure out what's going on, you know?
That's really cool. And it seems like next level relationaling, because I imagine that that communication style also allows, you know, I imagine it creates space for desire. Like, can you articulate kind of like what your, like, frequency of desire? It sounds like you guys have a really like positive, active sex life. Like, can you give us a little snapshot of the texture of it for us?
I think that there's 1,000 different directions I could go with that.
Okay, concretely, how many times a week, how often do you play with friends? What do turn-ons look like for you, if that's helpful? Or say whatever you wanted to say, but...
Yesterday, we had sex 4 times, which is not uncommon for a Sunday when neither of us have much to do.
How do you count a sex?
Any kind of touch. An orgasm doesn't have to occur for it to be sex. However, my lovely wife, she has the ability to come very, very, very easily. So she pretty much always comes. And because of that, I pretty much always come too. But like yesterday, I bent her over in the kitchen once. I think one time I was early in the morning, I was masturbating. And sometimes I'll do that and I'll make myself really hard where I'm about to come. And then I'll come in to the living room to whatever she's doing. She works from home too, actually. So she's always at home. And then, you know, I'll just say, hey, can I come in here real quick? And she says, of course. And, you know, and then we do it and it's over in like a minute. We do that sometimes.
Wait, in the kitchen where you bend her over, do you literally just like walk up to her and bend her over and put it in? Or do you talk? Or does it just depend on the day? Because I'm like, all of it's hot.
Yeah. I used to ask every time.
Before. I used to ask every time.
Yeah. But at a certain point, she let me know, hey, I'm open for business pretty much any time.
Like, which goes back to that communication.
Yes, exactly.
That would drop my shame-o-meter and skyrocket my desire-o-meter. Dang.
Yeah. There's been times where she'll go to sleep first and I'll masturbate a little bit. And I think, wow, it'd be really nice to come in her right now, you know? And in the old days of our relationship has a bunch of really nuanced things that have happened that have kind of brought us to the point that we're at now. But in the old days, I would never wake her up. But now she's okay with it. If I wake her up and say, hey, can I come in you real quick? And then I do it. And then she just goes right back to sleep. So we have that kind of rapport too, you know.
You've established a certain set of allowances, rules, dynamics, permission, whatever you want to
call it. But also yesterday, we did a few quickies, but when she actually worked yesterday, and when she was done with work, we had like an hour, you know, where we just watched a few videos. We do that sometimes as foreplay. There's a lot of different ways that we do foreplay. But we watched some videos and then we had sex and really enjoyed each other. And it wasn't a rush at all. You know, sometimes it's just like, let's do it real quick. Let's bang it out, you know, and that's fun too.
Yeah.
But other times we really like to take the time to, you know, enjoy each other's bodies. I'm actually really into edging. So, you know, when we have long sessions, it kind of gets to the point where I just kind of use her to edge myself, which we both love, you know.
Ooh. Like literally, like fuck wise, or like how, when you say you use her to edge yourself, what does that look like?
I usually use her pussy to do that. You know, I like her to be very still when I'm like edging myself, and then I just kind of use it how I want to. And I usually go really slow too. When I get to that point, which we both really enjoy. And she comes, I'm so lucky. I mean, as I say this, I'm reminded again how lucky I am. She comes so easily. She's really the best sex partner because she comes so easily, but she's not a pillow princess at all. She gets off on giving too.
Yeah.
So she's like the best sex partner there is. You know, I'm so lucky.
Am I hearing traces of a dynamic in your connection? Like, is there a power dynamic, or would you say not really?
We don't really explore any traditional kink. Not that power dynamic, but I am definitely more of a dom when it comes to fucking anybody, really. And she is definitely a submissive. She does not like making any decisions ever, except when she's sucking cock. That's when she wants to have control. But anything else, she doesn't want to make any decisions when it's just me and her, if it's in a group setting, whatever. She makes decisions all day, every day at her job. So she enjoys that time to kind of let go and just be, you know, and just tell me where to go, what position to be in, what I should do.
Okay.
She's into that. Yeah.
Oh,
which again, is a really, it's a good coupling with me as well, because I'm kind of the other way. Like when it gets to a certain point and I get really into it, I like to be in control physically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, so it sounds like you guys have really high compatibility there, physically, communication-wise. Okay, so you guys have been together for a minute. You seem to love each other. There's a connection there. So I'd love to hear you maybe answer this question, both in terms of the relationship you have with your wife, and also when you decide to invite new people in together, play with new partners. Like, what do you need in order to feel excited to connect intimately with a partner? Intimately being sex.
Conversation has to happen for me personally. It doesn't even have to be sexual conversation. It just needs to be us communicating verbally. When we meet new people, whether it's single men or couples, or we have met some single women together as well, but single men far surpass meeting single women. But it's never something where it's like, come over, let's do this. If it's a new person, it always needs to be, let's sit down, let's have a beer, let's smoke a joint, let's talk, you know, not just about sex, but let's talk about, you know, your life and where you are in your life and all that. That's the kind of stuff that I really enjoy. And quite frankly, it turns me on as well.
That's hot. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a story that exemplifies a moment of you and a partner or partners where there was a hot mutual yes, or like a mutual yes that led to hotness?
The first story that comes to mind was the first time we went to a sex club together. And at a certain point of mingling upstairs and dancing and having a few drinks, all that, at a certain point, we end up down in one of the playrooms. And we still do this to this day. We actually haven't been to a sex club in a while, but every time we go, we always just go and get started on our own in the playrooms. And then it seems like things just unwind naturally. And it's a really great experience, although no experience is the same as the other. But we went down to the playrooms. We got started on our own. She sucked my cock for a while. And then I started fucking her missionary. And we were on this big bed. And as I was fucking her missionary, there was a couple to my immediate left and a couple to my immediate right who were also fucking. So there were three couples kind of right there. One of the women asked if she could touch my wife, you know, as I fucked her, as she was getting fucked. And of course, we were like, yes, of course. And then once she started touching her, the other woman from the other couple said, hey, can I touch her as well? The answer, of course, is a resounding yes, especially because you asked nicely. So she's getting touched by two women and getting fucked. And my wife being a submissive, I knew that she would enjoy me taking charge in that moment and suggesting something. So I looked at the guy in couple A and I said, hey, she'll suck your cock if you want to. And he looked at his wife and she was like, yeah. And then so he came over and she was still being touched by the women and she was sucking his cock. Basically, it kind of ended up being a little cuddle puddle, like everyone was kind of touching everyone and everything. Then we took a break and I kind of leaned back. And then the woman from couple B politely asked if she could suck my cock. And I said, yes, of course. And then she started doing that. And then eventually that kind of ignited a swap with that couple. Mm. And couple A went back upstairs to get water and, rest, I suppose. Yeah. So we swapped with them and it was fantastic. It was wonderful. And then we went back upstairs and we sat and talked and stuff. And then couple A from earlier, they came up and they started talking to us again. And we started talking about our dogs, I think. It was getting pretty late in the evening. It was like 3:30 in the morning. And they said, hey, would you like to go back down to the playrooms? Are you guys into that? And we were like, yes, of course. So we went back down there and then we swapped with them that night. I really like that story because it sort of evolved with everyone all together, you know?
Yes.
There were six of us. There were three couples. It sort of started like that. And my wife was the centerpiece. Yeah. This is one of the reasons why she learned that she sort of likes attention. She likes praise. She was the center of everything, really. And then we had a great experience with both couples separately after that. And that was just, one night. So stories like that, that I think about and I'm just like, wow, that was so sexy that I did that. That's so cool. You know?
Yes. It sounds also like I just want to share a reflection because I'm hearing that you're in a space where you feel comfortable. You're literally one of the people that is like, we'll get the party started, and then B, it sounds like you two are already on the same page about what your desires at a party are, which I've definitely attempted to navigate things with people who like it became clear in real time that they were not. So I just want to shout out for sexiness there and like compliment you on that. You know, and then it sounds also like you already had, well, actually, I do want to ask about health and safety stuff. Like you were either in an environment where it's already maybe squared away ahead of time, or did you talk about that explicitly, or did you use barriers or kind of like, what are your needs for playing with others?
This particular club that we went to, you cannot have sex with anyone that you didn't walk in with without a condom.
For PNV, or does that include like oral stuff as well? Like, are they doing condoms for blowjobs and laurels for oral?
Specifically for PNV, as okay. You say. So that's the rule there, which of course, we follow that. We are big on testing. We think it's very important to get tested and to share the fact that we do get tested with other people that we play with, because we want to foster like a safe sex environment, yeah. No matter what. And we always like make a cute little date out of it together too. Okay. We always go together, yeah. And it's fun to be at the clinic and, some people look at you like, oh no, what'd you do? Did you cheat on her? You know, I mean, just looks that people give you, but I mean, we all walk in, proud and we're just like, yeah, we're swingers, like we just get tested together. And then we always go get ice cream after we get tested. So that's sort of our procedure.
At a hot party like that, you're not going to like stop, or it sounds like you didn't stop on the bed to be like testing. What's your fluid preference? Like that sounds like a more fluid environment where maybe you've kind of decided ahead of time where your comfort levels are.
Yeah, we definitely know each other's comfort levels. And with that, we have had partners that literally right before, fucking happens, like they want us to get out our results and show them on our cell phone and all that kind of okay. stuff. And we'll do that. Although sometimes it's kind of a turn off when you're in the moment. Like,
well, it's logistically difficult at a party because your phones are usually checked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. None of us had our phones. We're all naked.
Yeah.
I think the best way to communicate about it is talking about it, maybe via text or however you first connect with a couple or another single person. And that way it's already been discussed and everyone knows each other's boundaries. So when you get in the sexual moment and everyone starts getting turned on, you don't have to talk about that stuff that you've already talked about it. You already know their boundaries. They know your boundaries and everyone can go.
Okay. So party rules are use condoms, keep that protected, but you're comfy with like saliva exchange on all parts, or?
We're comfortable with that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then just regular testing. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else about that story that is like stand out to you, or that you, if you feel like is a learning takeaway, or just something you kind of like sexually cherish?
I mean, I sexually cherish it. And that's definitely not the craziest.
That term come out of my mouth, and I was like, why this word? Why does she talk?
Well, that's why I wanted to repeat it. I thought it was pretty brilliant. Sexually cherish, because I do sexually cherish a lot of the memories that we have created together with other people. It's exciting. And then we talk about it, you know, and that acts as foreplay for us sometimes. Sometimes we'll just talk about previous sexual experiences we've had.
Was that part of your like formative relationship, or is that something that evolved? Because I literally, in regular dating, I love being a sex worker because people aren't afraid of sex. In regular dating, mm-hmm. people are like, ah! And I'm like, I just asked what it would take to get you to think about sex with me. What? You know?
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
I imagine that maybe it sounds like you guys just found a groove, but like, was sexy talking about stuff part of your early relationship, or was it something you developed into?
I think in order to accurately answer that question, I would need to give you a little background on our relationship. Some of it is very unsexy, but I'll tell it as quickly and succinctly as I can.
We're here for the relevant bits, so you can fully answer the questions.
Yeah. Well, we like sharing it with partners too, because it's a good insight as to who we are as a couple, but also why we are so slutty, apparently, you know?
By societal standards.
Yes, yes, yes. So when we got married in 2009, my wife started getting debilitating head pain. She basically had all day, every day migraines on one side of her head, on the left side of her head.
Oh, shit.
And it was very, very difficult to deal with. I mean, she saw all kinds of doctors over, you know, two or three different states, and they prescribed her all kinds of different junk to try to numb the pain as best they could. I mean, she tried things like Alzheimer's medication and Botox and acupuncture, anything under the sun that a doctor would think of to help someone with their migraines, they threw it at her. She had a couple surgeries as well. She had a nerve simulator implanted on her forehead. And then she had like, it's kind of a battery the size of a credit card that was right under her skin, like right above her chest. We had a few different things with that. And it was like this new technology. And doctor said like, oh, this will help for sure. That stuff didn't help either. During this time, I happen to have a pretty high sex drive, as you can probably tell. And during this time when she had migraines, our sex life wasn't that frequent. Of course. I mean, have you ever had a migraine?
I luckily have not, but my best friend gets them. So I hear those details, and I am just really grateful that it sounds very unsexy and like impossible to function.
Yeah. I've had a couple. I mean, my whole life I've probably had less than 5 migraines, but I remember almost all of them because of how debilitating and painful it was.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to me that she actually functioned in her life and in her career through that time. But we didn't have a great sex life during that time. We had a great sex life in college. You know, we had sex a lot and had sex at skate parks in the car during a thunderstorm, you know, all kinds of fun stories like that. But when we got married and she started developing these headaches, our sex life basically went to almost nothing. I would guess on average, we did it like once every couple months or so. There's probably some periods where we went longer without doing it, but she basically had to get everything together to be able to do it, you know, to deal with the head pain. And I would have to kind of start several days before kind of preparing her for it, kind of getting her ready for it.
That doesn't sound sexy.
Yeah, it was tough. But the thing is, though, every time we did it, we would always come together. Even with a migraine, she could come, you know, which is amazing to me. Okay. But during that time, I asked her for an open marriage simply because I just wanted to have sex more, you know. She couldn't really hear it. I mean, she was in the midst of dealing with this incredible head pain and everything. We went to couples counseling. We learned how to communicate better with conversations around sex and frequency and desire and all that kind of stuff. It certainly didn't help the frequency because she was still dealing with the migraines, but it did help us kind of talk through it a little bit and understand each other a little bit better. But I'm an actor, and eventually we decided to move to Los Angeles. Her company transferred her. And in the back of my head, I thought a new environment may help, you know, her situation. She also has just terrible allergies. She's allergic to everything. So I thought maybe it had something to do with that, you know. But when we finally got out here, she saw a doctor. He looked over her chart. He talked to her for like 10 minutes, and he was like, I think I know what you have. And if it is what I think it is, there's a very simple cure. It's just this really old medication that hardly no one uses anymore. But for whatever reason, it works for this. And she tried it and her headaches were gone within a couple days. She had had a constant migraine for like 10 years, basically. And she got on this medication and her headaches were completely gone. And it took us a little bit to kind of get used to it. Like, she didn't know that if it would stick, you know, because she had tried a few different medications. And I think the newness of the medication sometimes like tricked her brain into thinking, oh, this is actually going to work long term. Mm-hmm. So it took her a while to kind of accept, oh, wow, my headaches are actually gone. And when that happened, she started getting super, super horny all the time. And it was also around the time that COVID hit.
We had
nothing to do and nowhere to go, you know, just at home together all day, every day. Wow. And we basically just started fucking all the time. I mean, that many years into our relationship, we were learning about each other's bodies in ways that we had never learned before because her headaches were so debilitating for all those years. We developed a really sexy relationship together. And we would have sessions that were hours long. We watched sexy movies together. We started watching porn together, and we started making our own videos together and watching them, experimenting with different things we had never experimented with before, like anal. And eventually conversations around that led to, we could do some stuff with other people too. And there's a lot of different reasons why I think our relationship specifically works for involving other people. Mm. I think even though we are super tight as a couple, we kind of operate individually a lot too on different things. We definitely don't feel any ownership over each other's bodies at all. Those reasons, but also just some fun reasons too. I was like, Roxanne, you are so good at sucking cock. I want to see you do it to some other guys. Like, I want to see you blow some other guys' minds. And she loved that idea. And then so that was one of the things that made us kind of want to explore it and try other things. It's kind of funny because all those years we never like fantasized about that. Personally, I have a very active imagination when it comes to sexual experiences and stuff. And I had never thought about couple swapping. I had never thought about being in an orgy or anything, but we kind of discovered together that we wanted to do it together. And she later told me that she thought that she needed to be the one to suggest it because I had asked for an open marriage years earlier and she said no. So she was like, you know what? I need to, you know, share that. I think this would be fun for us to do together. We just took to it. I mean, we didn't really need much, you know, dipping the toes in the water. It happened pretty quickly for us, you know, like starting to involve other people and having different experiences. And it's all very exciting and it's all still very, very exciting. Like I said, we started making our own videos and now she has an OnlyFans and we put our videos on this website called Make Love Not Porn.
Yes, I have interviewed Cindy Gollop, the founder.
Have you really? Cool. Yeah.
Okay. So you do both. You do the OnlyFans and the Make Love. Is it different content because she was very like docu, you know, very like just put the camera and then don't.
Yeah, they actually have like suggestions for the kind of videos that you submit on the website. Yeah. And they don't like anything too doctored. They don't like anything too edited. I think they say nothing presentational, actually.
Which is a very, very, like, for my autistic brain was like, these rules are unclear. Like, I can't understand the lines. Like, all of sex stories exist because I'm trying to understand the societal lines. And I'm like, but by definition, there is a camera there. You're saying unconsensual glory hole filming? I don't know. You know, like, like, how do you, like, secret camera? What do you mean? My brain gets caught in binaries there a little bit. But, okay, so you have, like, separate stuff you put on Make Love Not Porn versus OnlyFans or a different style?
There is some overlap.
Okay.
Like, there'll be some videos that we put on Make Love Not Porn that are, like, a half hour of just us with the camera set on a stand stationary the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, and then with OnlyFans, we'll do like some shorter videos, some point of view stuff of me holding the phone. And then when we find partners that are okay with them being on her page, you know, we'll involve them too. I think the criteria is a little different, but there is some stuff that I think overlaps both places.
So how would you like concretely describe, I mean, without labeling you too much, but just so we can get kind of a feel for, it sounds like couples and swapping. It sounds like, yes, to content co-creators, but that's not necessarily a priority, or it's like there if it's overlap and there's hotness, or maybe they don't even have to be creators, just willing. Fill in the pieces for me. Like, what are you guys looking for in terms of inviting other connection? And it sounds like you still do have a lot of sex with just each other. And do you still have a lot of solo sex with yourself?
Yes. Okay. Yes to all that. Yeah. I think as far as like what we're looking for, because we get that question a lot when we first connect with couples on the app or, you know, wherever else, we really value new experiences. Whenever there's an opportunity for us to do something that we've never done before, we normally want to do it because we've never done it before, you know? So there is a lot of that for sure. But we're definitely not a couple that's like looking for a unicorn, you know? I mean, we've been with some women that proudly state that they're unicorns, and it's always super hot and really fun.
The way you're using that word makes me wonder if I have a different definition. That's just like a guest star coming into your relationship, or do you mean like a third you would date, or what do you mean specifically around unicorn or the concept of unicorn? Because I know it can be very hot button for people, and I do not understand quite
why. Yeah, yeah. And this is another reason why I don't totally like labels in general, because labels make people think a certain thing.
Yeah, but also just to push back as a brain who like really, really loves to have the deep conversation all the time, people like heuristics and get exhausted when I try to like have the conversation to get specific and clear every time. So it's like, I don't know, they're helpful sometimes, but I agree they're stupid and horrible and inaccurate because people project all over the place and don't check in to see if their definitions of labels match. And that's why I like to stop and be like, what does your version of unicorn mean in this context today?
Yeah. To me, it means a single woman that enjoys hooking up with couples.
Okay. Is it a woman, though? Because I know there, I have interviewed someone who's a unicorn with a horn, with a built-in horn. And he had lots of fun as a unicorn, but I don't know. I don't know if it's gendered there. But okay, so you're not out looking for like a single third to join your partnership. You're kind of open. Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's a couple. Maybe we make content. Maybe we don't. But maybe we have a great real time is kind of what I'm hearing.
Yes. I think that there are certain relationships that we have with other couples where we do all kinds of different situations, you know, like we'll do a same bed couple swap, or we'll split off and do like dinner separately. You know, I'll take her out and then he'll take Roxanne out. We'll have dinner separately and then we'll hook up separately. And then we've done it where we come together afterwards and we'll basically have a swap. We've done it where we hook up separately and then we send each other like videos and stuff during. We kind of like that, you know?
Like, that's fun. Yeah.
Like the male in a male female couple will come over and we'll have a male female male. Okay. And then I'll be the guest at their place, you know? And we'll do a male female male that way as well. We sort of enjoy where the opportunities are just endless, you know, as to what you can do, you know? And you have to find people that kind of align with your mentality and have similar boundaries, I think.
Yeah.
And all that. But yeah, we really just enjoy the variety and doing things that we've never done before and exploring things. There's stuff that we're into that we had no idea we would be into.
Like what?
I mean, I like it when she pees on me now. I never thought I'd be into that.
How did that come up?
We kind of talked about it joking, you know. She had a guy that she connected with. We've hooked up with him a few different times, who was very clear about, hey, if she ever wants to pee on me, I would love that because I'm super into that. And at the time, we were both like, I don't know. I don't know if that's in our wheelhouse, you know. But him asking about it sort of got us thinking, sort of got me thinking like, huh, what is it about that that people really enjoy? And I just got kind of curious. So we had like a play party at our house one Saturday afternoon, I think. It was us and then two of our friends, single male and single female. So we had them over. That's another thing we really like. We really like introducing people. I mean, I really enjoy watching them fuck after I've like introduced them. It's a big turn on for me. But we had a play party. There was four of us. I think I had already come once, but everyone was still playing. And Roxanne said she had to pee, and I just jokingly said, hey, do you want to pee on me? And then everyone got quiet in the room, and...
Bold move!
I kind of said it halfway kidding, but halfway kidding.
That's the best way, yeah.
Yeah, and she said, okay, we've never done that before. So we went in the bathroom. We were giggling the entire time, talking like, how should we do this? You know, where should I lay? And, you know, how do I position myself? All this. And the two that we had introduced were fucking in our bedroom right next to the bathroom.
Fun.
So she peed on me and it was great.
What was the results? What was the position? How did you lay?
I laid down in the tub and then she kind of straddled me and kind of peed like on my stomach. She kind of squatted down over it. Although now when we do it, we've only done it three times, but now when we do it, I'll ask her to pee on my cock because I really like that. I like how it feels.
Ooh.
I like it because there's an anticipation. There's like a buildup to it, almost like an orgasm, you know, where I'm laying there. And that is a position that I've never been in before, you know, like seeing, you know, pee come out of a pussy like that close. Mm-hmm. So the buildup and then like the visual of it, and it just feels really nice and warm, you know, and because it's her, you know, it makes me feel good because of that. But after we got done, we washed off in the shower and stuff. And then we went into the bedroom and they were still fucking. I was like, you know, Roxanne peed on me. And they're like, we know, we could hear everything you guys were saying as we were fucking. It felt sexy doing it and it's sexy remembering it.
Well, and it's such a beautiful illustration of like, trying something new and finding that thing that maybe wasn't edge before, but you're like, ah, fuck it, let's go for it. And that's what I think is so hot about play partnership, right? Like people who are just, I've been thinking a lot about irresistible invitations this year and what do I want to say yes to? And I really want to say yes to adventure buddies who are nice and sexy and sweet and kind, and, you know, all of that. So I love that story. Okay, tell us a story now that kind of encapsulates for you nourishing connection. Like, well, it's a moment or a time or a fuck moment or, you know, where you felt nourished in your connection.
We really like hot wifing. We're really into that.
Define it in case we have a listener who's brand new to the term.
Sure. To me, it's watching someone else fuck your wife and you're not involved. If you were involved, that would be something else. You know, that would be a threesome. But to me, it's like watching someone else. Again, that's something that I never thought I would be into. In the beginning, I thought, wow, that would just be weird if I was just like watching, you know, and I wasn't involved. It seems like that'd be really weird. But when I watch a man just really love on her and go down on her and praise her and please her, and then I watch her please him, you know, suck his cock and just do it beautifully. I'm laying on the bed next to them. I don't touch myself. I have a few times, but usually I don't touch myself. Usually I just lay there and I just stare at her face. Those kinds of moments, we definitely feel compersion when we're both getting pleased sexually. We feel it, you know, like I feel that for her in that moment. And the same is true when she watches me with a woman. So those kinds of experiences where, you know, she's getting fucked and I'm just laying on the bed next to her and just looking at her. We're staring into each other's eyes. We're connecting that way. Or when she's sucking someone else's cock and she'll like look over at me and wink and Like those things, I feel like when we have those experiences, it's like we're living the same sexual moment together and we create this bond that wasn't there before. Does that answer your question? I feel like maybe I was kind of rambling.
Well, I think it's about nourishment, right? And it's your personal theme on what does feel nourishing. I love that. And I think that's a really good story that encapsulates it. You know, and it also made me wonder so many things. But okay, well, first I'm just going to ask you, what do you think makes you a great lover? And be as generous as possible. Be honest, but generous. Like, why are you a great lover? What do you do well? What do you offer?
I'm good at eating pussy.
What makes you good at it? Give me as many specifics as possible. Enthusiasm is usually the first ingredient, right?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things that is beneficial for a couple if they want to explore doing things with other people, because I was always able to please her with my mouth, and she was always super into it, and she always came, but she comes really easily anyway. So when we started having swaps, and I found that I could make other women come, you know, pretty well too, that gave me a confidence that I didn't have before, you know, just being with my wife. And the same is true for her. Like when she started sucking other guys' cocks, and she'll make guys come and they'll be like, wow, you know, no one's ever able to make me come with just their mouth. And she loves it. And I love it, you know, like learning about each other that way and stuff. So being with other people, I've learned that, like, I'm good at physical touch, you know, and I enjoy eating pussy, and I'm pretty good at making women come that way. And I think that being in a relationship, you know, you learn to listen to each other on such a deep level, nonverbal listening too.
We may hope.
Basically, when you take what you've learned from your own relationship and when you have experiences with other people, you take what you learned in your relationship and apply it to that new relationship, whether it's sexual or conversation or whatever. And it definitely gives me a confidence of like, wow, I know how to treat a woman. The thing that makes me feel really, really sexy about being a swinger, or, you know, whatever you want to call us, what we do, the thing that makes me feel really, really sexy is that her and I are very open to doing lots of different things. And when people learn that about us, it turns them on. You know, they think like, ooh, what are the possibilities? Wow. You know, what are you into? Could I do this? Like, oh yeah, you could do that. Oh, could I do this? Yeah, of course. We do that all the time. You know, like, it's fun to be open and to say, yeah, we've experienced that stuff. And if you guys want to do it with us, we'd be honored.
So is that once you've already had the conversation and you know there are people you want to play with, it's kind of like wider opening, or does it depend partner to partner?
Sometimes it can be a brand new relationship, you know, a first time meeting that we've, you know, never had with that couple or person before. Or other times it can be a couple that we've had several different encounters, experiences with, and then we talk about exploring something new together. Nice. And that can be fun too.
You're like a pair of permission givers / play partner. You know, like you're like permission giving play partners. That's fun. It sounds like you're having a lot of straightish experiences. Have you ever taken the guy on a date and the girls have to, whether or not you end up like romantically playing with him or more, but like talk about guys.
Well, that's another thing that I never knew I would be into. I never developed crushes on any of my male friends, or I never really looked at another man and saw him as attractive, you know, and maybe a lot of that came from my programming. But really all the experiences that I've had with males have been in a group setting. I've kind of learned that a group setting, if everyone is open with everyone else, if it's not just like male, female, but if it's just like everyone kind of on top of each other, essentially, those are the kinds of experiences I've learned that I really, really like.
Oh, cool.
That I just go for. Yeah. The first experience I had with a male was a couple swap situation, and he just asked if he could touch me. And I said, yes. And then I asked if I could touch him, and he said, yes. And then we were both like, okay, this is all right. This isn't weird at all. This is cool, you know? And then from there, I became open to doing more and more things in that realm. And I've discovered what can happen that really turns me on. In particular, I really enjoy when, like, the other guy's wife will suggest that I do something, or better yet, she tells me to do something.
Ooh, yeah.
Then I'm all about it. Those instances are the only instances where I interact sexually with another male. I haven't done anything one-on-one as of yet. I think I would be open to it if it was the right person, the right situation.
Yeah.
But we actually had a really sexy swap with a couple months ago. The guy kind of had my same perspective with bisexuality, because I told him, like, yeah, I'll interact with dudes and I'll suck cock, and I like when guys suck my cock and everything, and yeah, I like kissing and all that, but I don't really feel bisexual because I feel like I'm not attracted to men, like if there weren't any women there, essentially, you know?
Like it's context as part of it.
Yeah. And he said, I feel the same way. Like, I like interacting with guys, but I would never say I'm bisexual because there's not really an attraction outside of the sexual scene, if you will.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm still kind of exploring the depths of my brain, you know, where I kind of fit interacting with other males, you know, in a sexual way. But Roxanne, my wife, is the same way. She likes being with girls, and girls love her. And I love that, obviously, because how could you not? But she has never done anything one-on-one with another woman. Maybe we'll get there at some point. Like, we don't close our minds off to anything, really. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, am I LGBTQ now? Because I like to suck cock every now and then. Like, I don't know. I don't really feel like it. I still feel like I'm straight, you know?
Really?
That's another reason why I don't like labels, you know? It's just,
well,
I think there's so many nuanced things.
I know. No, I feel you on all levels. And I mean, I think it's always nice to be like, yeah, we are actually all a little queerer than maybe we will admit. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not about sexual flexibility, whatever, but it's like none of us are quote unquote normal. And I think us trying to like pretend like we're normal is squishing all of our beautiful creativity and all that stuff. But so yeah, I would say yes, even if you don't feel part of a community. And also, you are creating your own hot queerish, you know, flexible community with yourself in your explorations. And I'm having lots of, like, it's funny because I have fantasies about quads that are like, I would be with every other person, you know, like kind of speed dating, but in a fuck sort of way. And then those two, and then those two, and then all of it, which it sounds like you are, have done parts of. And maybe, you know, maybe you will meet the right couple to, you have like a everyone plays solo and compares and contrast. That's my fantasy for you.
Absolutely. Hey, I'll take it. And I'm open to it.
Is there other stuff on your, I mean, it sounds like you're open to opportunity, but do you have any specific things on your erotic and or creative bucket list besides that, that feels relevant to talk about?
You know, right now in this moment, I'm very fortunate to say this. Like, there's nothing on my bucket list that I'm just like dying to do. You know what I mean? For me at this point, it's more about what can happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And to be surprised, you know, and all that. That wasn't true when we first started involving other people because I had all these things I wanted to try. Like, oh, I want to, you know, have sex with two women at once, you know, and I want a couple swap and I want to watch you do this. And we've experienced all that. So it's fun to be in a space of like, no expectations, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Okay. So take us through your formative timeline. You know, we've heard lots of really good, juicy details already, but start at the very beginning for us and just hit, you know, the milestones. I won't third degree you about every single little moment, but I would love to hear, starting with the very first time you remember sex feeling relevant in your life, thoughts, feelings, etc., in your own personal evolution.
I feel fortunate in that all of my formative sexual experiences from, you know, being a young teenager all the way up into college and adulthood were positive experiences. I feel very lucky that the story of how I lost my virginity, I think, is just really, really beautiful. I remember like being at church camp and this girl that I really liked kind of pulled me into the woods. And that was the first time I made out with someone. That's the first time my tongue was in someone else's mouth.
How old were you?
I was 14, probably something like that. I lost my virginity when I was 16. I didn't really have like a very active sex life, I guess, when I was in high school. I had sex with four different girls, all of them just one time. But all of the experiences I can look back on fondly, and all of them I think I learned a lot from too. I lost my virginity the summer after I turned 16. And it was a girl who I used to go to school with. And I continued, she moved, and I continued chatting with her on AOL, I think. Yeah, we just like talked and flirted via chat for months after that. And then she turned 16 and she got a car and she said, hey, I'll drive up and see you. You know, she lived like a couple hours away, I think. So she drove to my house and my entire family was gone. We watched a movie together and we kissed and we took off each other's pants. The way that it physically happened, me losing my virginity, was her straddling me essentially, and then her lowering herself onto me very slowly and kind of deliberately. And yeah, it's so sexy for me to think about that.
Yeah.
And of course, I lasted about 5 seconds. I went to the bathroom to clean up and everything. And then I came back into my bedroom and then we did it again. And the second time was longer. It felt like experimenting, like we were both experimenting, trying different things and all that. She actually was not a virgin. She had had a boyfriend before and she had told me about that and everything. And then afterwards, it was just a very lovely experience. I mean, both of us just were feeling positive vibes from it. And then she left. And then we talked a little bit online afterwards, but then we just kind of fell off communication. And it was really kind of beautiful the way that it happened. It's almost like we were meant to be together to experience that together. And then after, we lived in separate places. And it's like, okay, now we go our different ways and we live our own lives. That's sort of how it felt to me. There wasn't any pressure of like a relationship, like, oh, we've been together for a few months, I think it's time to do it. It wasn't necessarily spontaneous, but us like physically having sex, I think, was spontaneous. But us being together in that moment was not spontaneous. So that's maybe why I have such a good relationship with sex, and why I have always had kind of a high sex drive and tried to explore that, because I had a really good first experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild considering some of the background stuff. Like, I've talked to so many different people and there doesn't seem to be a clear pattern between, especially if someone's raised with the religious shame situation that it sounds like you grew up in. Like, that can be a lot for people, but it sounds like you're like resilient and grounded. When do you feel like you started to like understand sex, or kind of like, what was your unfolding like sexually? Was it like you were like, no, I'm good, and you got to partnership? Because we know a little bit about once you got with your wife, what that part of your life was like. But leading up to that,
I had sexual intercourse with 4 different girls when I was in high school, and each one was only one time. And they were all different experiences, and they were all really good and really sexy, I suppose. But whenever I started having consistent sex with one person, which was my wife, Roxanne, in college, after we started dating, that's when I really started to kind of like explore what we could do, you know, and like what really turned me on and just how connective it can be. You know, I love talking to her about like our dorm room sex, you know, and I think I mentioned earlier, like there's one sexual memory in college that I have of, you know, sometimes our roommates would be in the room, so we'd have to get in the car and drive around town and find a place to have sex in the car. As you do.
That's fun. Yeah.
But one time there was just this torrential downpour, big thunderstorm, and there was a skate park kind of outside of town, in the town that we went to college. We drove to the skate park, pouring down rain. We fucked in the back seat of her car, and it was just a really nice memory. You know, it's just like, wow. And think about where I am sexually now. You know, it's like light years ahead of where I was then as far as openness and exploration. So there's lots of stories like that with my wife in college where I'm just like, oh, that was kind of the beginning of our development as a couple and our development as people that enjoy having sex together.
This is an impossible question for you, but it's coming from a very single, mostly single, most of my life person. Like, what is it like? I know you don't know any other way, but like, what is it like to spend decade, like your adulthood, with a person? I know you're opening and exploring, but like, what is it like? How do you think about it or understand it or feel in it?
for me personally, it's amazing. And it's not easy all the time. I mean, the communication thing is something you have to work at.
People seem so hard. And I hear so many spouses saying things like, well, they're completely irrational in this way that to me is a big fucking deal. And I'm like, well, maybe that's why I'm single. Like, no, they just don't. And I'm like, it seems so hard. Like, just communication. Yeah, it seems like you've worked. Yeah. Sorry. So yeah, okay. Seems hard.
We're fortunate, too, that because we did start dating when she was 18, I was 19, and we're both going to turn 40 this year. So we have been together as a couple in our lifetimes longer than we have not been a couple, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you hit the tipping point recently. Yeah.
When I asked for an open marriage during what we like to call the headache years, when she had headaches, and we did counseling, it helped a lot with us, like, communicating and trying to understand each other better, like her trying to understand my perspective on why I wanted to have sex more and me understanding exactly what she was dealing with as far as dealing with the pain and, you know, all the emotions that come with that. I mean, she battled some depression during that time too, because she had a migraine that literally would not go away. So one of the things that really sticks in my brain as to what the counselor said to us is that when you're with the same person for that many years, if you're both dedicated to the idea of growing together, that's when the relationship stuff gets really good. You know, when I have a problem, it's her problem as well, and she helps me solve it. When she has a problem, it's my problem as well, and I help her solve it. We have that kind of relationship with each other. And again, it's something that doesn't just happen, you know. You have to work at it. But also, if you have a really strong connection with someone and you have the same core beliefs, which we do, if you have the same kind of perspective and understanding about the world and humanity, which we do, you learn and grow together in really intense ways. And, you know, then especially if you're both woke sexually and you're both slutty and you want to try lots of things and do lots of things and explore lots of things, and you go through that together, and you see each other evolve that way together, it's amazing. It's magical.
How do you think the world would change if that was the norm for couples? I'm like, if everyone was getting laid, if we could, like, look at each other's partners and be like, hey, cuties. Like, I wonder if we would have a larger feeling of community. Again, assuming it's the norm, right? I feel like we're in, there's so much, like the media seems to be really obsessed with love triangle storylines. And I'm just like, you guys, but what if it was an orgy storyline, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I fantasize about that very idea all the time. You know, I fantasize about a world where, you know, any man or woman could see my wife in a public setting and go up to her and hit on her, like, right in front of me. And, it's okay. It's perfectly fine, because guess what?
I feel like there's a lot of ladies out there being like, no, don't hit on us more. But there's a few of us that are like, correct, I'm not property, you know? And it's like, it's so funny. Yeah. I hear you on that.
Yeah, you're right. But it makes me feel sexy, and it makes her feel good too, that I enjoy it when other people find her attractive.
And because you guys are so secure, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. To do what we do, it definitely takes some emotional security. It definitely takes some open-mindedness, and it takes communication. It takes talking through things, talking about what you don't like, talking about what you do like, talking about what your fantasies are, talking about what your boundaries are, checking in with each other. I mean, even when her and I fuck, we still check in with each other. Me especially, because I'm usually the one in control, you know, like, are you okay? Is it okay if I hold you like this or whatever? You know, it's less now than it used to be, but we really value that. Yeah. We really do.
Yeah. What do you like about kissing and kissing necks?
I just like kissing. It's so intimate. I love making out. Reminds me of being in high school, you know, in your sexual formative years. Plus, it's just so fun and playful, and no two people kiss the same way.
Totally.
Right? For whatever reason, something that I really love is when I'm fucking a woman missionary and I kiss her neck at the same time.
Okay. And I really like giving the neck kisses. Do you also like receiving them too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, you're fucking missionary and kissing the neck. So you have to be in like a certain shape for that. Elbows? Like, how are you?
Yeah, kind of. Usually I put my hand behind the woman's neck and kind of hold her secure like that.
Yeah.
And then I sort of have to kind of lay on her.
I got to learn these positions because I just did strap on for the first time and I did a good job. But I'm like, now I got to learn all the penis positions, you know?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's very good. Mm-hmm. So you're close enough to then be like.
Yeah. Plus her ear is right there and I can whisper whatever dirty shit I want to.
Yes. Okay. Is that the sexy whispers or is that different?
Sexy whispers. Yeah. I like doing that. I just like words, you know, I love any kind of exclamation that anyone has, like while they're getting fucked or while they're fucking someone else. I like words. I like dirty talk a lot. It's all very sexy.
Oh, that's amazing. What about butts? You like ass worship. We heard about licking earlier. Do you like also other things with asses?
Yeah, for sure. Normally, a really common form of foreplay for my wife and I, and she knows it. Like when we say like, hey, you want to fuck? You know, we'll, you know, freshen up or whatever. And then I'll go into the bedroom and she'll be in the position with on all fours, just with her ass as high in the air as she can, because she knows that's what I like, you know. In my formative year, and I've searched the depths of my brain to try to figure this out too, but I was so into boobs in high school. I was so into boobs. I love boobs still. Like, how can you not love boobs? But I notice a woman's ass first these days for whatever reason. Like I'm most attracted to that part of the body. So it has to do with that. It has to do with the jiggle of it when you spank it. It has to do with how smooth it is and kissing it. And it's just the part of the woman's body that turns me on. It just is. I mean, there are lots of parts of the body that turn me on. Yeah. But that one is probably the greatest. In certain situations where we've had like a threesome male, female, female, or in a couple swap situation, what I really like to do is I like to get the two women together and get their asses together. Yeah, and then me and the other guy will massage and worship kind of both at the same time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say patty cake. I want to do patty cake. All I love lining them up and just like doing Spanx patty cake.
Yeah. You know what? That's on my bucket list.
Yes. If you do patty cake, let me know how it goes.
I will.
I think that would be very fun. I mean, obviously you have to have the right playful people, right? But, or like, yeah, drums. I was also going to say like, ooh, maybe in group play you should start checking out the boy butts too, because there's some good ones. And boys love to criticize their butts and be like, you're small or this or that. Or, God forbid, they have a butt. Oh, it's so big. Like nobody, I hear a lot of boys criticize their own butts and it's garbage because I look at them and I'm like, it's a good butt.
That's good advice too. That's very good advice.
I mean, you just never know what's going to open up. You sound highly arousable. You sound like someone I would definitely want to invite to a sex party. I think for me, it's about creating environments of respectful yes, right? You know, and I personally am finding that I'm specifically turned off in some states where it's like, if someone's really picky about something, like whatever, we all have our preferences, but it's about how it gets voiced, right? So I'm like, I want to have yes people at my sex parties. And I love that you had an afternoon delight play party. I think that's like hearing your 3 or 4 a.m. stories, I'm like, no, I'll never get fucked again. But hearing you talk about afternoons, I'm like, oh, okay, people do it. I'm data collecting.
One of our play partners affectionately calls it a brunch and munch. We'll meet another couple for brunch. Noon on a Saturday, a nice boozy brunch, talk, catch up.
I love that.
And then, you know, we go to a hotel or to our place or their place or whatever and have a little play party. You can play for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, okay, we need to go our separate ways and kind of have our reconnection time with our people. It's still like 6 p.m. when that happens. Exactly. So there's all kinds of time to reconnect and reclaim and all that. So I love the energy of afternoon sex in particular. Me too.
I'm so much hornier in the late morning or afternoon as well. Like I can rally, but like also don't put a full dinner in me and then want to have a really intense session, right? Like I'm like, come on. I mean, I want to have a full dinner, but can that be my snacks afterwards, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Are there any other like specific favorites that we have to know about Max?
I enjoy when people watch me come.
Ooh, including on camera or in real life mostly or all of it?
In real life.
Okay.
and on camera, I would say. But I'm that person at the party that is definitely going to announce when they're about to come to everyone. And the reason is because I want to know when everyone comes.
Me too. You know? I love knowing
everyone.
Yeah. I've actually started inviting partners to tell me because it turns me on so much. And if I'm close, knowing they're coming will get me over the edge sometimes is what I've been discovering. So that's my current experiment. That's hot. Wait, how do you say it to a partner? Are you like, everyone, I'm about to come? Or like, what do you do?
I think that I'm inspired by the moment usually. But yeah, usually I just say it very straightforward. I'm about to come.
Love that. Have you ever ruined your own orgasm by announcing it? I have, but have you? I'd like to ask this question.
I don't think I've ruined my own orgasm doing that. There's been a few times where I think the pressure of the situation gets to me a little bit. Like, there's one time I'm thinking of in particular where, you know, I want to come and we're in a couple swap situation and I ask, hey, can I come in both your mouths at the same time? Which used to be on my bucket list, but I've done it a lot now and it's super fun.
Bucket lists can have repeats, especially when you like the thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's different every time.
It is, yeah. But this one time I'm thinking of in particular, for whatever reason, with them lined up and then the guy watching me like in anticipation for, I just got a little shy for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
I think that happens. Yeah, okay. And I couldn't, totally. I couldn't go. Yeah. So that happens occasionally, but I never say that I'm going to come and then that ruins my own orgasm. That's never happened.
Okay. Oh, yay. I'll celebrate that. But also, since I just said yes to a few ads from Blue Chew, which is a penis helper over-the-counter situation, I like to also balance that out by talking about penises and anxiety. Is it something you've ever experienced? When you're stressed, can you get hard? When your needs are not met, can you get hard? Like, have you ever noticed any connection between your emotions, anxiety, your physical body needs, your connection that maybe are connected to your penis? Just as a way to sort of like normalize what penises do?
Yeah. Sometimes I can get overstimulated and then it's tough for me to get hard. We've experimented with like ecstasy before with other couples. And when I haven't done that drug a lot, but the few times that I have done it, it's always been in like sexy situations where everyone's just hanging out naked basically. And I love it and I feel super sexy, but for whatever reason, I can't get hard, you know, when I'm on that drug because I think I'm just too overstimulated. Yeah. Or when we first went to the sex club, when we first went downstairs and just saw everything, I mean, you know, hundreds of people literally having sex and being sexy and walking around naked and everything. The first time I saw that, it was like too much for me. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. Because I love watching people have sex. So it was almost like there's too many places to look. Yeah.
So totally get it.
Sometimes there's situations like that where I just need to step back and take a minute. But for me personally, whenever I have trouble getting hard in a situation, the worst thing you can do is like freak out and physically try to get yourself hard. The best thing you can do is just to lay back, you know, just relax just a second, take some time, breathe, watch the other beautiful naked people in the room, or, you know, go on the other direction and use your mouth on somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you just get back into it, normally it'll come.
Yeah.
Normally the erection will come.
If the person can let go of the fear. I definitely have been with partners that start to go down the spiral of that's all they focus on. I'm like, my nipples are right here, though. My mouth is all over you here, though. You know, like, I'm like, okay, it's okay. You know, once it's lost, it's lost. Okay, Max, I would love your wisdom, your personal wisdom. What do you think we need to make the world a more loving, connected place?
Openness. I think we need to be more open with each other. I mean, I have a great fantasy, and I'm sure it's a fantasy of yours, too, to just live in more of a sexually open world, a sexually open society where we can talk about it more. And I think that we would all learn collectively that it is not black and white. It's not this or this. It's a very beautiful rainbow colors everywhere of everything that's possible and all the different kinds of ways that people approach their sexuality and people's kinks and people's fantasies and desires and everything. If we could all just talk about that more openly with each other, That's a big fantasy that I have, you know. If there weren't so much, you know, censorship, I guess, you know, in media and other places. I mean, there's so much shame around it still, around sex still, after all these years. And maybe we have made some strides, but there's stuff that can be done that get us closer to that. And your podcast, Wyle, is one of those things, by the way.
Thank you for saying this. I mean, also, as you're saying this, I'm like cringing because I'm like, yes, we have to be the change we want to see. And also after 5 years, it's really clear that censorship is actually affecting this work. And so this is my first official recording as quote unquote X stories instead of sex stories. Obviously, it's always sex stories at the heart of it. But I am branching out and also wanting to bring people who maybe won't talk about sex into the conversation if they are willing to talk about their other relational things. But I am so with you. And I'm like, well, everyone wants to have some sort of positive relationship with sex. I've not yet met a single person's like, nope, don't need sex in my life. Like, we all got here from it, you know? Like, you know, so it's like, regardless of the relationship, even if they're like, oh no, I'm not participating, or like, this is my relationship to it, it's like, I just want us to have the ease to feel good about those choices. And I mean, as a girl who spent her whole weekend like in the computer renaming most of the titles to be safer for work, so maybe we can get monetized or at least not censored on Spotify, because it's a whole thing. So I'm really glad to have you here doing this. I'm really inspired by your stories, and I'm trying to do my personal crack the code in terms of figuring out how to have more delicious, juicy connections in my own life. So I'd like to get your fantasy brainstorms. If you had to be a sex worker for 2 years, how would you serve? This is in a world where everyone must serve, you know, 2 years. This is our civic duty.
I have an idea in my head right now, and it's something that my wife, Roxanne, and I have discussed. And it's honestly something that maybe doesn't exist, or at least not the way that we're thinking about it. We would really love, me and her together, would really love to be like the couple that other couples go to when they want to learn about the possibilities of the lifestyle, polyamory, swinging, whatever kind of label that you want to pick. Because we have realized that we really enjoy that when we have experiences with people that are having like a first type of experience.
Oh, I like love that. Your trainers.
Yeah. We have been other couples' first swap more than once. Like that has happened several times. And it has gone very, very well pretty much every time for both parties. So we really enjoy that. Like if there was, and we do think there's a lack of education out there too about the kinds of ways that you can explore with your partner if you're interested in doing that. Still very taboo, really. I mean, the whole idea of group sex and polyamory, it's getting closer to being more accepted, but it's still pretty taboo, I think. So in a world where all that stuff was a little more open, we would like to be that couple that kind of coaches other couples, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah. Does that count as like sex work though? It would be cool to
only
do
if
it.
You're,
like, for
only them. If you're fucking them, I think. I mean, and they're, you know, they could, if someone could come hire you to like train them in that way, like totally. I'm here for that. My big vision that doesn't exist yet is like, I want to make a camp, a sex camp, an educational sex camp. Where people can go and try the things and then, you know, have people with wisdom come do it. I don't know how, I don't know the answer to that. That's my big vision. And on that note, you now have an unlimited budget to build your perfect playroom / dungeon castle, whatever structure you prefer. What is it like? What are the elements that must be included in Max's play palace, or whatever it is?
Well, we definitely want it to be a big enough area where we can have parties. Not like huge 200, 300 people parties, but, you know, like 40 people, maybe 50 people. So we want it to be an area that, you know, we can get together people from our circle and introduce them in a space and all that. Oh, there's got to be a group shower. I'm even envisioning like a lighting scheme in the shower too. You know, it's always fun, like different lights and there's like patterns and it's very, very sexy. Maybe with an observation window in the shower, you know, so people that are not in the shower can watch and see what's going on. We really enjoy making videos, as I've said, and we fantasize sometimes about like having almost a movie night and then we can all hook up, all have a play party, but we can watch our sex videos, other couples that are there, we can watch their sex videos. Ooh. So I'd want like a big screen, you know, and we could just basically watch all kinds of different things to spark ideas. If someone wants to show off what they made recently, it could be like a show and tell type thing. That would be super, super fun.
I love that.
I love the idea of having a space where there's lots of different kinds of surfaces that you can fuck on, you know, like all kinds of different stuff. Cool couches that can fit, you know, 20 people and sex chairs. That's on my bucket list, by the way. I have not done a sex chair. I want to try that sometime.
Oh, you mean like a tantra chair?
Yeah, never done it before.
Well, you know, I have one. I found it on the street, but I cleaned it very well and it's in very good condition. But that's I was great. Driving along with my friend and she was like, stop the car now. You need this. And I was like, what? And actually, I have not yet used it. And I got it. It'll be 2 years ago this week on Thursday. I've had it for 2 years and I've only used it for photo shoots and hanging out with my girlfriends, but not like in a sexy way. So that one.
Maybe you should explore it on the anniversary. You know?
It's on my bucket list. I mean, Thursday is measure a penis day, according to one condom. So, I should be like, come measure your penis on my tantra chair. I should have thought of this sooner. Damn it.
Got to be a good sound system in there. You got to have cool music, you know? Like, yeah. I want to feel the bass, but not so loud that, you know, it's distracting.
Yeah.
You know, got to have a good sound system in there. I really like, you know, just sexy art too. Mm-hmm. You know, sculpture and paintings, conversation starter pieces. You know, like a playroom where there's all kinds of different things that you could observe too to spark conversation, almost like, you know, a museum aspect.
I was going to say, in my perfect world, it's a gallery exhibition that changes quarterly and there's like a play party to kick it off, you know, each opening with the artist there and it's slutty artists only. So, you know, it's a very special, that's like exactly, that's the top floor. First floor is like regular museum. Second floor is like all the furniture and stuff you're talking about. And the top one is the gallery. That's in my brain.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. You got to have a space for sex toys too.
I was going to ask you about that because we didn't talk very much about sex toys and you also like hands, but you like toys too. Like what would you have?
We like toys, maybe not as much as other couples, but she loves butt plugs and I love putting them in her. I have a butt plug too that, every now and then I get in the mood to put it in and then I'll ask her to put it in. And she's always very excited to do that. But with other couples, you know, like we have a strap on, we have a few different double dildos that she's used with different women and stuff. We have a lot of different things like that, little toys, you know, but it's always there by our bed, you know, and they're all clean. When people come over, we always say, you know, we have toys over there if you want to use a toy too. Glass dildos, vibrators, lots of different butt plugs of different sizes. So I would want what we have now times like 10, you know. I would want like a wall of it, almost looks like a sex shop, you know, and you can just go and pick whatever you want, you know.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And somehow it's always charged. All of them are always charged. And it's not my job to charge them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should get a submissive for. I love that. Okay, anything else in Max's Pleasure Palace, which is what I've dubbed it?
I kind of already mentioned this, but, you know, big screen where we could watch whatever. But having like a movie night with like 10 or 15 people, you know, five or six couples, whatever, where every beanbag chairs or big plush couches, you know, red velvet maybe. And then, you know, we watch a movie maybe with sexual content together, and then we can all just have a play party right there. So it can kind of function as like a theater space, but also, you know, something like that, like multifunctional. I think that would be kind of cool too.
I love it. You're a Max after my own creative heart. I really feel all this thing so strongly. So amazing. Where can people find you on the internet?
So we are on Make Love Not Porn. And our name on there is At the Top of the World. That's our name on Make Love Not Porn. If you go to my wife Roxanne's Twitter, you can find anything you want to find linked on there. You can find her free OnlyFans or her paid OnlyFans. And that is @Roxanne_Max_ on Twitter.
Awesome. And links are in the description below, lovers. Max, thank you so much for being a guest on X Stories.
Lovers, that is our show. If you know a friend who would like this episode, please take a second to share it with them now. 52 Days of Play is underway, and there are so many fun ways to support and shape this next year of content. For example, if you would like private, behind-the-scenes audio updates that include my sex stories, fantasies, work noodles, plus virtual co-working sessions, and a place to share your wins and wishes out loud Monday through Friday during the 52 Days of Play, join me on Patreon at patreon.com/yolee. For the video versions of these private shares, along with exclusive daily live voyeur cam access where you can spy on me while I create, as well as interactive lives Monday through Friday, plus a mix of exclusive early access and behind-the-scenes photo and video shares during my 52 days of slutty creations, join me on OnlyFans at onlyfans.com/yolee. Or, to just see teases and unlock one by one, join me on my free OnlyFans page, onlyfans.com/yofree. For private messages, calls, or video, you can also find me on sexpanther.com/yo. If you're not into the sexy stuff, you might want to sponsor a segment. Let me dedicate a daily wiggle, masturbation meditation, or a solo research episode to you, your boo, or your brand. You pick the topic or noodle and co-create with me. Details are on my website, yolee.com/52. I am also super into parallel play. Tell me, what does your hot person spring into summer look like right now? I'd love to hear what player pleasure you are noticing, practicing, or growing, or you can always answer one of my questions, ask me one of your own, or share a story via yolee.com/share. I especially love voice memos, but emails I can read on update episodes are also great. I would also love to know, what adult creator would you like to see me play with during my 52 days of play? Tell me so that I can send them an invitation by emailing xstoriespodcast@gmail.com. And I am accepting new photography clients now until the end of June. Details about how you can work with me are all on my website, yolee.com, and the link is in the description below. And sexstoriespodcast.com will always take you straight to the podcast landing page, or I guess I should say directly, because nothing I do is really straight. For those of you who don't know, X Stories is a completely independent creation. I fund the production of this podcast through my work as a content creator, photographer, and sex worker, and I appreciate each and every one of you that understands that your contribution to my work, whether it's Patreon, OnlyFans, or a creative session, photo shoot, voice memo, or written story for me to share, it is incredibly meaningful to me. My work is what lights me up in life. And my goal is to continue to create things that are also meaningful to you. So hearing from you helps me shape what I do. And when I don't hear from you, I feel like I'm just speaking into the void. So if you love this podcast and want it to continue, please let me know by leaving us up to 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. And for my birthday, I would love a thoughtful review on Apple Podcasts that lets others know why you love listening to sex stories. I'm looking forward to getting to know more of you and going deeper during those 52 days of play. Remember, if you want to work or play with me, my website, yolee.com, is where you can find details of all that I do. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading ripples of love. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Remember to hydrate, wiggle, and breathe. And may you be brave enough to share yourselves and your stories in the name of lovely human connection.